This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on what has been an amazing Tuesday. And we're going to tackle some immigration, actually. That's really what this is going to be about, immigration. What does it mean to be a citizen, new citizen? We're about to discuss that. We'll talk about the Russia-Ukraine disaster that apparently is never, ever, 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 ever going to end. We'll do some more emails, all that, so much more coming up the final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Now, let's discuss, before we get to the stories about American kids, especially white kids, getting into higher level universities, before we get to the story about the soon-to-be mayor of Minneapolis, we think, let's talk about America and immigration. I mean, this really doesn't even necessarily apply to America. It really applies everywhere. What's a country that I like? Mexico. I actually like Mexico. Now, it's terribly corrupt and I don't want to live there, but let's pretend for a moment that I did want to live there, because I do genuinely love, look, I love the people, Mexican people. I've always loved them. I love the food. I love the music. They have mountains. They have beaches. Let's say I decide I want to move to Mexico. Or you know what? Maybe it's not even a desire thing. Maybe Jewish producer Chris drags the show down to such a level that we get taken off the air and I lose my job and I can't find work here. What if it's out of necessity? I find a job, a radio job in Mexico.
Buenas tardes.
I'm going to pack up the family and I'm going to move. Now, I'm moving to Mexico, maybe out of want, maybe out of necessity. But me, Ob, the boys, if we're going to leave America, sell our house, bring as much stuff as we can, and move to Mexico, because Mexico has provided for me a job opportunity, an opportunity to feed my family in a way America does not, then I would view it as an obligation to A, follow the laws, B, follow the customs of wherever I am. You know, Mexican customs, because it's a different country, that they do things differently than we do. It's not uncommon for Mexican workers to take a nap in the middle of the day, broad daylight. Perhaps you've seen this on a construction site, landscapers, they'll just throw a hat over their head and just go to sleep for a little while. Different customs, right? Different people, different customs. I would view it as an obligation to follow those customs. And if I've left America and Mexico is going to be where I live, Mexico is going to be where I retire, I think it's a requirement of me to do that. I would feel obligated as a new arrival to their country to follow their customs and their culture and to become Mexican in whatever way you can become Mexican. That's what I would do. I don't think I'm off base in saying that's what you would do if you were forced to leave America and you had to go to Poland. I don't believe that you would probably try to bring all of America's culture to Poland, would you? Poland provided the opportunity, America didn't. You're going to go be Polish now. Okay. Immigration has to be handled in that way as a nation. A nation. The nation that has immigrants coming into it. has to handle its immigration in that way. And most nations have understood this historically. The United States of America has understood this historically. Yes, we can accept people here. Frankly, we should accept people here who want to be American. You're leaving wherever you're leaving for whatever reason. Maybe in Ireland, there's a potato famine and people are dying and you don't want to have a potato famine death. You want a chance at something better. I realize you were born in Ireland. Your family's in Ireland. Your heritage is Irish and no one's asking you to give that up. But when you get here, it better be the American flag that is primo for you. Because this country doesn't have a potato famine. And this country provided you with an opportunity. That's how it has always been understood. Same situation with Italian immigration. I know I like to have fun with Italians, but it's actually because I adore them. But when Italians came here en masse, the exact same thing was demanded. Yes, bring your pizza recipe. That's fine. I don't expect you to give that up. But you better view yourself as an American because you left your country and you became an American. And that is on the country that is welcoming the immigrants. You see, you have to demand that of the people coming into your country. If you do not, they will simply bring their country into your country and set up a new country. This has happened so many times throughout history. It's in the freaking Bible. This is how it goes. If the country accepting the immigrants does not demand assimilation, they will not assimilate. They will take advantage of all the advantages of the new country, but they will bring every part of their old country with them. That has been understood forever. But because the left is evil and the right is weak, we have completely lost sight of that here in the United States of America. The left wants to bring in 50,000 people from Venezuela because they understand the more violence that's here, the better it is for them. They understand the more immigrants that are here, the more Democrats will get elected. So like I said, they're just sick, evil, and wrong. But the right can be talked into this, especially America's feminized church can be talked into this easily. Well, do you think Jesus would want those Venezuelans to have to stay? What about Jesus? What would Jesus do? He would welcome them all into his home. Oh, no, they can't come into my church. I'm not going to welcome any into my home, but someone in America should take these people. That's what Jesus would want. The right is feminized. The left is evil. And so now, this is Omar Fateh. He's not Somali. Not really. I mean, he was born in the United States of America. According to our laws, he is an American citizen. This is Omar Fateh running for mayor of Minneapolis, standing in front of a bunch of Somalis in Minneapolis.
I understand that our Somali communities are all connected to each other here in Minnesota and back home, and I ask for your support. There's always been a link between our community here as well as back home, and I'm running to bridge that gap and unite all of us and represent all of us, because when we succeed here, we succeed everywhere. And I'm hoping to do that just like Abdurazak, inshallah.
Does that sound like somebody who's running for office to make Minneapolis better? Serve and represent the citizens of Minneapolis? Or does that sound like somebody whose people are busy conquering a portion of this country and he's going to use his position in political office to further their conquest? Let me play it again just so you can listen. Does this sound like someone running to be mayor of Minneapolis, or does this sound like somebody moving a Somali conquest forward?
I understand that our Somali communities are all connected to each other here in Minnesota and back home, and I ask for your support. There's always been a link between our community here as well as back home, and I'm running to bridge that gap and unite all of us and represent all of us, because when we succeed here, we succeed everywhere. And I'm hoping to do that just like Abdurazak, inshallah.
That is why the nation must demand assimilation. That is why immigration must be slow. This is why I don't care when people say, well, it takes a long time to be a citizen. This is the greatest country in the world. It should take a long time. Well, it's really hard. Yeah, good. Difficult things are hard. Good. I'm glad it did. Well, Jesse, it took me 10 years. Good. I'm glad. Welcome to America. You're now a citizen. You're now my brother. You're now my sister. I'm glad it was hard for you to get here. Good. That's a good thing. Instead, we have allowed people to flock here en masse, congregate wherever they want to congregate, and they didn't assimilate. They're not even interested in it. They're no longer even pretending that's what they're doing. They're conquering our country through immigration. And that is exactly why, well, it's part of the reason why Mark Andreessen gave a little talk, and he was talking about universities. Here he was.
Nobody wants to talk about, but I've started to talk about, the intersection of DEI and immigration that has really, I think, warped, I think, our perceptions on high-skilled immigration over the last 50 years. You look at, like, the foreign enrollment rates of the top universities, which went from, you know, like 2 or 3 or 4% 50 years ago to whatever, 27 or 30 or 50.
And Columbia's over half, right?
70% or whatever it is. And so there's been this massive transformation in who gets educated. And then there's been this massive transformation of who gets admitted through DEI, through affirmative action. And then, you know, as we now know it, DEI. And again, this goes straight to the political divide in the country, which is if you're parents of a kid where I grew up and you've got a smart kid and you think you're going to get them into, you know, a top university in this country, like, you are fooling yourself. There is this really fundamental question, which is, like, what level of untapped talent exists in this country that a combination of DEI and immigration.
We allowed them to flood into this country by the thousand, conquer the country, and now they've taken over our higher education system. A suicidal, ridiculous immigration policy. Stop all of it now. Well, one more word on this and then we'll do some emails. Let me first talk to you about this. I'm a little bit proud, I guess, of this. Pride is, I realize, dangerous, but did you know that Rough Greens, they're now America's number one dog supplement? Because of you? Well, it's because people see results. When I tell you that dog food is dead food, you get that. There's a reason it lasts so long on the shelf. You know that. But what do you do about that? How do you give your dog nutrition? You sprinkle Rough Greens on your dog's food. Your dog, you will see differences in your dog. I can't stress this enough. It's not that you sprinkle it on your dog's food and hope for the best. When you start giving your dog live nutrients, your dog will change in all the best possible ways. Energy, coat, breath, live longer. Don't you want your dog longer? Go to roughgreens.com. Use the discount code Jesse or call 214-ROUGH-DOG. That's 214-ROUGH-DOG. Discount code Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Wonderful Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Allowing people to immigrate en masse from any nation, congregate, bring their nation to this nation, and then join forces with the left to conquer the nation is profoundly evil, and it is happening in the United States of America. It has already happened in many ways. In case it makes you feel better, it probably doesn't. It's happening in the UK. It's happening in Ireland. It's happening in France. It's happening in Germany. The left wing of all these countries, realizing that their native citizens, their patriotic citizens, were their enemy, opened up their borders, imported as many people as humanly possible, and now the foreigners have joined forces to destroy the country. I'm going to play this cut one more time. This is criminal. That this exists in the United States of America is criminal for higher education. And the reason this gets me so angry is not because I have sons that are not far from graduating high school. It's doubtful that either of my children will go to college. I don't just tell you about trade school. I point my sons that way. They can if they want, but not just willy-nilly. I'll be very, very selective. And they're going to have a purpose. Either way, I have friend after friend after friend after friend who has gone through trying to get their kid into a higher education and failed. And then they dig through the enrollment at the higher education and they see that America's higher education gets handed out to foreigners while American kids get rejected. I'm going to play this again in its entirety. Listen to this.
Nobody wants to talk about, but I've started to talk about, the intersection of DEI and immigration that has really, I think, warped, I think, our perceptions on high-skilled immigration over the last 50 years. You look at, like, the foreign enrollment rates of the top universities, which went from, you know, like 2 or 3 or 4% 50 years ago to whatever, 27 or 30 or 50.
And Columbia's over half, right?
70% or whatever it is. And so there's been this massive transformation in who gets educated. And then there's been this massive transformation of who gets admitted through DEI, through affirmative action. And then, you know, as we now know it, DEI. And again, this goes straight to the political divide in the country, which is if you're parents of a kid where I grew up and you've got a smart kid and you think you're going to get them into, you know, a top university in this country, like, you are fooling yourself. There is this really fundamental question, which is, like, what level of untapped talent exists in this country that a combination of DEI and immigration have basically cut out of the loop for the last 50 years? And how long can we have this, you know, story to everybody in the Midwest and the South that says, you know, sorry, you're, you know, because of historical oppression, your kids are SOL.
Harvard renames two more DEI offices amid ongoing rebranding. That's from Campus Reform. Higher education hasn't even changed their ways. They're having to change some names or having to shuffle some things around because they've been made to look bad, but that's criminal. The United States of America being ripped from the arms of Americans and handed over to foreigners in collaboration with the American left. Horrible. Jesse. You discussed proper bacon cooking methods the day before Independence Day. I'm on a carnivore diet, so eating bacon and backyard chicken eggs every morning. Naturally, I have to ask, how does the self-proclaimed egg freak cook his eggs? My guess is scrambled with American cheese. I assume Aub has to crack them for you, though, with all the tiny hands. Okay, one, no, I make my own eggs, for one. Two, scrambled eggs with American cheese? Absolutely. Occasionally. But when I describe myself, I don't know that I want to use the term Renaissance man, but maybe I do because I like eggs in so many different forms. Do you know I had deviled eggs last night with jalapenos on them? They were delicious. Scrambled eggs with American cheese, obviously lots of salt and pepper, a staple in my house all the time. Breakfast tacos, you know it. Little Mexican joint close by, they know me by name by now. Got my go-to Mexican joint, guaranteed. Eggs nests, where you cut a little hole in a piece of bread, then you drop the egg in there. And people have different names for it, toasted yolk or whatnot. We always call them eggs nests. Eggs nests, the best. I've told you about eggs like Dad makes. We use soft boil them and drop them in a vat of butter and tear up some toast in there. Yep, all day. Egg sandwiches, you know it. I'll put a fried egg on a cheeseburger. Why do you make that face at egg sandwiches, Chris? How can you not like egg sandwiches? It's egg and bread. What? They are that good. What do you do? They're not cheap filler. You're cheap filler, Chris. Egg sandwiches are critically important. Oh my gosh, I live for egg sandwiches. I will occasionally eat a hard-boiled egg. Very much not my thing. I don't like when the yolky gets all hard and chalky like that. That's kind of nasty. Not a hard-boiled thing. Just straight-up over-easy eggs. Yep. Had biscuits and gravy a couple days ago. Threw a couple over-easies on top of that bad boy. That's about as good as eating gets right there. I am, in every sense of the word, a Renaissance man, I think. But don't make that face, Chris. Pure Talk's awesome. Did you know that? I love Pure Talk. I am so proud to support a patriotic company. So many of these cell phone companies, what are they? They just turn into these gigantic soulless communist monsters. And they take your money and whatever new weird commie social justice cause is out there. They take your money. Verizon takes your money. AT&T, T-Mobile, they take your money. And they go throw it around to every single disgusting cause. Pure Talk's never done that, never will. Long before Donald Trump got back into office and started talking about hiring Americans, Pure Talk was already hiring Americans. It's not just something new. They're not just going whichever way the wind blows. When nobody was talking about hiring Americans, Pure Talk prioritizes it. I love that. I can save money. I can get a brand new phone or keep my phone, keep your phone number. I want to stress this. It's easy. All you have to do is dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Let's have a few different hard talks here very briefly. You've heard of the nuclear news cycle, right? Because it's something I made up. I talk about it on the show. The nuclear news cycle, for you new listeners, is we live in a much different era than previous eras, where access to information is it's everywhere now. Everywhere now. It's in the palm of your hands. That means you know about every scandal everywhere in the world all the time. If you care enough, you could be super informed about everything. One of the results of that is not only do you find out about scandals immediately, people move off of scandals very, very quickly. They forget and they move on. The nuclear news cycle. When you get in trouble, if you ever become a public figure and you get in trouble, you know what you should do? Shut up. Just shut up. In 24 hours, everyone will forget about it and go away and move on. If you keep talking about it, keep addressing it, keep apologizing, keep bringing it up, then it stays in the news and people don't move on. I call it nuclear because scandals do burn super hot now, but they're gone super fast. It'll be 1,000,000 degrees for a day. Then everyone will move on. They'll find something else. I played this comment earlier from Trump about Epstein.
He's given us just a very quick briefing. And in terms of the credibility of the different things that they've seen, and I would say that, you know, these files were made up by Comey. They were made up by Obama. They were made up by the Biden information. You know, we went through years of that.
Remember last week when he said, hey, just move on. Why do we care about this? Move on. About an hour ago, Trump talked about it. The audio is a touch rough because he's by an airplane, but talked about it again. Here's what he said.
I know you've urged people to move on, but I'm curious, why do you think your supporters in particular have been so interested in the Epstein story and so upset about how it's been handled?
I don't understand why they would be so interested. He's dead for a long time. He was never a big factor in terms of life. I don't understand what the interest or what the fascination is. I really don't. And the credible information's been given. Don't forget, we went through years of the Mueller witch hunt and all of the different things, the Steele dossier, which was all fake. All that information was fake. But I don't understand why the Jeffrey Epstein case would be of interest to anybody. It's pretty boring stuff. It's sorted, but it's boring. And I don't understand why it keeps going. I think only pretty bad people, including fake news, want to keep something like that going. But credible information, let them give it. Anything that's credible, I would say let them have it.
Mr. President, that is a terrible answer. And you've said that now multiple times publicly. I don't understand why anyone cares. Move on. Mr. President, please hear me here, because I know there are people in the White House listening right now. People care because of what I talked about in the opening of this show, because for years and years and years and years and years, we have watched wealthy, powerful people get away with everything, while normal people have been smashed and destroyed time and time again. Now we have a case where we think there are some ties, FBI, CIA, maybe a list, maybe not. I don't know. Where we have a lot of very powerful people tied to a criminal who killed himself in some very suspicious circumstances, and people want answers. And Mr. President, Donald Trump, part of the reason you're in the White House is people think you will give them justice. They think you will hold the elite accountable. Rightly or wrongly, that's part of the reason Donald Trump was there. Donald Trump is there. Mr. President, you are there because you are the attacker of the system. We view the system as evil, and we want you to take a battle axe to it. either stop talking about it or find a different answer. But I don't care. We should just move on. No one should care. No, I don't even care. Nobody cares is a horrible thing to say to people who believe the government covers up crimes. It is a horrible thing to say. Ah, Democrats made it up. Nobody cares. Nope. Lots of people care. And Democrats made it up is a ridiculous answer. Guy worked for the Central Intelligence Agency, allegedly, for 50 years. Come on. That's a terrible answer. Stop. Please. And as long as we're along these lines. Trump reportedly wants Zelensky to go for Russia's throat. Trump is very frustrated right now, understandably, with Vladimir Putin, because Vladimir Putin doesn't want to stop fighting. Trump promised everyone he would end the war in a day. I actually respect that. I'm not mad at him for that. He thought he could. He thought he could sit down, negotiate an end to it. Hey, you give a little, you give a little. I like that he wants peace. I like that. I'm not insulting that at all. I like that. But Vladimir Putin does not want peace. Vladimir Putin is not losing. Vladimir Putin is not broke. Vladimir Putin is not politically in danger. The Russian people are not unhappy. Donald Trump has gotten nowhere with getting him to stop shooting. So now we're going to go back to the Joe Biden policy of feeding a bunch of weapons to Ukraine? This never ends. It never, apparently it doesn't matter who was president. This never ever ends. Ukraine is not a NATO country. You can hate that Russia invaded all you want. That's totally fine. You can hate the Russians. Totally fine. Don't care for them myself. You can, all those things are true. That doesn't mean it's our problem. That doesn't mean we have to get involved. And why are we having to have this conversation now when we elected a new president back in November? I don't understand, and I'm getting frustrated. The foreign policy appears to be the same as it pertains to Russia-Ukraine. I'm frustrated. I'm moving on. I'm doing some emails. My blood pressure's rising, and I'm going to move on. Dear yuppie smoker. It's not a yuppie smoker. Okay, it's a wood pellet. It's not a yuppie smoker, Chris. It's a wood pellet smoker. Do you have any? Have you had any Russian dishes? They have borscht, but it has beets in it, so nobody likes those. No, I haven't had any Russian dishes. Okay. Well, I take that back. I take that back. I have had one. If you take vodka and Kahlua and then a little bit of cream, that, I don't know if you know this, is known as a white Russian. Excellent. I mean, I don't drink them anymore, but back when I did, excellent. So, yes, I guess you could say I do know my way around a little bit of Russian cuisine. Jesse, my wife and I are expecting our first child any day now. Any advice for a first-time father you'd want to share before my life flips upside down? His name is Casey. Yes, Casey, babies are a woman's job. No, stop. Quit. I didn't mean that. I didn't mean it. Quit. Let me clarify. You raise your kids how you think is best. Keep in mind that women will enjoy the newborn years much more than a father will. The mother enjoys the newborn years more than a father. She is made for it, to nurture and care for that child. You will love it. Don't get me wrong. It's not bad. You will love it. You're going to hold him or her or whatever it is. You're going to love him. But they just kind of sleep and cry and poop. They don't really do much. As a father, kids get cooler every single second they get older. I mean, I go fishing and shooting gophers with my kids, beaver hunting. I do cool stuff with my kids like that now. And the sad part is it works the exact opposite with women. Ob calls it the longest breakup in history. As they get older and older and older, they will slowly separate from mom and kind of glob more onto you. Just be ready for that. It's all perfectly natural. The most important thing is once your child is old enough, you need to get them an education from Hillsdale College. Maybe you'll be able to actually get them into Hillsdale College, Probably not. But we can all learn from Hillsdale College. Our kids right now can learn from Hillsdale College. Ah, but Jesse, my kids are only 8 years old. Hillsdale has more than 40 free online courses for everybody. There's no cost. They don't just keep all that wisdom for the kids who can actually get in. You, me, we can learn about capitalism or the Constitution or Rome, or we can learn from Hillsdale College. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse is where we can learn. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. Go. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wild, wild Tuesday. Been kind of a heavy Tuesday, but it is what it is. So I'm going to just kind of lay a couple more heavy things out there. The first one is this. It was a headline from the Daily Mail. And the headline is, parents ask male daycare workers not to dress or change their children's nappies amid alleged sex abuse cases. Okay. So I understand that we live in an era where we have to try to pretend there aren't differences between men and women, that women should be allowed anywhere men should be, and men should be allowed anywhere women should be. I realize all that fluffy, idiotic nonsense is really common thinking now. But parents, please hear me on this. Please. If you have to drop your kid off at daycare, and many people do. We had a point in time in our marriage, both of us had to work, kid had to go to daycare. I get it. Believe me, you're not getting any judgment here. Sometimes that's the way it goes. If there are males working at the daycare, take your child out of that daycare and take them to a different one. There is no male on the planet who has a strong desire to work around other people's little kids, changing diapers, changing clothes, unless he is there for bad reasons. And don't email me that your brother's the exception or something like that. If your brother volunteers to change the diapers of one-year-olds, your brother's a weird freak, okay? Something is weird about it. And even if it's not, because I'm sure there actually are exceptions, right? I'm sure there are exceptions. Do you really believe that daycare you dropped your child off, that has the one dude who's the exception? Is that what you believe? Come on now, please. That's woman's work. Get serious. No. No man wants to go work in a daycare. If he's there, he's there for a bad reason. And you know what? As long as I'm making everybody mad tonight, I'm sure I'll have all kinds of hate mail after the Trump stuff and now this. Let me go ahead and add this little thing in there, which I've said before, but I'll say it again. If you have a little girl and she's, let's say, into sports, be very careful around the male coaches. Extremely careful. Especially if it's a sport like gymnastics or swimming or something like that. How many dudes want to coach 14-year-old girls in swimming? You really think that's a burning passion of a lot of men? You know, one day I hope to lead the 14-year-old girls to a championship. That's just what I want as a dude. Do you really think that? Are there guys out there like that? I'm sure. That's probably more the exception than the rule, right? Probably should be a little wary of the guy who voluntarily puts himself around 14-year-old girls in bathing suits. That's woman's work. Let it go. All right? All right. Now, as long as we're making everybody mad and stepping on everyone's toes, maybe I'm just in a mood. There's a headline out of France. The French PM proposes cutting national holidays to cut the debt. You don't care about France and you don't care about their national holidays, but I just want to point out that all these Western nations, including ours, that have spent themselves into bankruptcy and won't cut a dime of spending, they're going to continue to come up with these insane little schemes to try to avoid a debt crisis instead of just stopping the ridiculous spending. The United States of America is going to do this stuff too. If France wants to solve the national debt, it should really probably solve the spending problem. If America wants to solve our $37 trillion national debt, I know you can think, well, we just need a better interest rates here, and we just need maybe we can grow our way out. Growth is fine. Great. Lower interest rates are great. Fine. Sign me up for all those. Unless we significantly cut the spending, nothing changes. But nobody wants to do that. So instead, all these politicians try to come up with some way they can kind of twist themselves into, well, no, maybe if we shaved off a vacation day and then we issued some special gold bonds with 2% interest rate. No, you cannot spend $2 trillion a year more than you take in without a debt bomb exploding in your country. And that debt bomb is coming to Western countries. It is. It is coming. On that sunny note, let's do some headlines.
And now,
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Israel begins talks with countries that could take in the Gazans under the Trump plan. I almost forgot the plan was to send the Gazans to other countries. Only the plan is running into a bit of a snag because nobody wants the Gazans in their countries. This is making this whole thing quite difficult for everybody. Several hurt in anti-migrant unrest in Spanish town. We're starting to see these things in the UK, in Ireland, in Spain. We're seeing similar things here in America, but because of the election of Trump, they got toned down a little bit. The people who are citizens are tired of being assaulted and replaced by people like this.
I understand that our Somali communities are all connected to each other here in Minnesota and back home, and I ask for your support. There's always been a link between our community here as well as back home, and I'm running to bridge that gap and unite all of us and represent all of us, because when we succeed here, we succeed everywhere. And I'm hoping to do that just like Abdurazak, inshallah.
Yeah, we're tired of that. They were afraid. Mark Cuban says Kamala campaign didn't trust her to go on bro podcasts. It's almost odd and kind of hilarious to think back that after 4 years of having to cover up for Joe Biden's incompetence, Democrats had to transition and cover up for Dome's incompetence. It's kind of awesome. Hallelujah. Jubilant Mike Rowe wakes up to see the economy turn back to dirty jobs. That is one really great thing that's happening out there. If we have to focus on the good, we are getting some industry back in the United States of America that is not only necessary, it's wonderful for the next generation. I'll be back tomorrow, hopefully with some good news. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.